Would you introduce yourself, please?
My name is Matt Sharp.
Okay, so let's get this over with early on. So is this a band, a project, or a burrito?
I never think of it as as a solo thing, just because the people that contribute to the album have such a significant contribution, and also are people that I respect to the point where they can, you know, hit it back over the fence to me or over the net or whatever. And so if I'm suggesting a particular place we're going, they have the ability to say, no, we're not going there. Or I don't wish to go there or whatever, or it doesn't feel natural to go there or so whatever. So that's, you know, but on the other hand, you know, it's not a consistent group of people. It's not a group of people that, you know, grow old together and get to learn more about each other through the trials and tribulations of time and all this kind of stuff, you know.
That's so romantic.
You know, it's not that. It's definitely just, it has a lot to do with, you know, people that wanting to work with people that I'm at that particular moment inspired by and interested in and care for and all those things, and that I think are genuinely interesting people, that it's just that you're whatever inspired to work with. There are those things. I mean, there's like when the Rentals first started, I had a real, real desire to work with the Hayden sisters, with Petra and Rachel. And it started from Rachel. I just thought it was just so into her voice. And they were like the only group in Los Angeles that it was at a time when there was a lot of just sort of these kind of watered down versions of sort of the things that were popular at the time, like all the Seattle music and all that, was just all that that sounded very similar to those things but didn't have any kind of content, or there was no real songs in there. It was just sort of the sound of Soundgarden or Nirvana or whatever was happening at that time. And then here were these Hayden sisters doing their thing, which I thought was really unique, and I was completely swept up in what they did. And just part of how the Rental started was a desire to work with them, and then over time it became to work with other people, and all the way through to now on this album, working with Jess and Holly of Lucius. And my sort of enthusiasm for them and my passion for them, it's probably no less than my passion was for Rachel and Petra back then. But it's the same thing. It's just that feeling of something that just, I mean, I talked about it a great deal. We did a show the other night that was one of the very first show we've done for this album. And Jess and Holly just happened to be in Los Angeles at the same time. So we figured out a way to have them be a part of the show, which was like thrilling for me. Really very, very moving for me. And I sort of did this long speech before they came. They opened the show with us, and then they came back out about halfway through the show. And I did this long speech talking about what their music meant to me. And it was quite emotional. And it's, you know, honest, just a passion for what they do. I think they've made one of the best records of the past many years, and they just, like, it's that thing for me when you discover something that's when you discover something that really just makes you feel like it's been there all along, you know, like, wow, how was my life? You just kind of almost don't understand your life without that thing in it. It's like that sound must have been there from the beginning or something like that. And I feel that way about Lucius. I feel that way about their voices. And as soon as I had heard them, kind of in that initial swell of it, kind of everything else just becomes irrelevant, you know? So it's just like, I don't know, you just hear other sounds, other voices, and it just doesn't seem significant.
One of the things you actually talked about in working with them, and I thought it was a really interesting quote, so I want to reconjure it and explore it, is you said that even when their harmonies are off, their harmonies are still kind of perfect because they are so accurate to each other.
Something that I was thinking about the other day, because I was doing this sort of introduction for them, and one of the things I guess is like, I mean, you don't have to be too analytical about it, but thinking of like, God, why do certain things affect you that way? And I think something that maybe, if I'm not sure if it's true or not, but maybe it affects me because they are really two parts of one whole. That's how they're, I mean, other singing groups, great singing groups have been like that as well. But where individually they are great singers, but when they sing together, it's bigger than they are individually. And they really are, and I've never met any two singers that are as dependent on that sound. Like, and that I think maybe the emotional core to it is that they need each other, you know, and that it just, when it's together, it makes that special thing. And it's, you know, when you listen to them, it's just amazing, this sound that's coming from these two women. And you know, as we were talking about, like, I had that feeling where everything kind of fell from me when I first heard them, and just all me, for this brief period, everything just became completely insignificant. I was like, wow, like that just overtook my world for a little bit. And then it was right in the moment. I've never worked with anybody like that, where I was having that feeling and in the studio with them at the exact same time. That's not to say that you're not inspired by the people you work with, or that you're like, don't have a great admiration for what they do, but just that initial boom, you just met them, you just discovered them, and then holy hell, you're standing right next to them in the studio going, how about this or that?
The sum of its parts, when you started, you had no idea what the sum of its parts was really going to be, right?
Oh, no, not at all. They were the very last piece of it, not including the mixing and all that stuff, but they were the last recorded piece of the album. I certainly did not know that's where I was going to end up with it. And essentially, we just crossed every bridge as we got to it, as you say, you know. So it's like, it was just working in isolation with each person and trying to find out what that thing was that you were searching for, going down that path and just, you know, whatever, going on your journey, trying to find it. And then once that thing was done, then it was like, okay, on to the next, and then trying to figure out how do you approach the next part of it, and how does it fit into the bigger picture. And that's always sort of the trick, is to make it feel natural together, even though you're sort of looking for each piece individually, you know. And maybe the hardest part of that was doing that with the drums, because I had approached it of thinking, I'd like to do this so I'm not dependent on anybody. I would like, as far as financially dependent on anybody to do it. So I don't want to go to a big studio, or we're going into we're having these, you know, exorbitant cost of, getting a good drum room and all these things. So I thought, well, maybe I can go and like just do this cool thing with old drum machines and try to find some sort of, our own unique take on like these old 70s and 80s drum machines, and see if maybe that's a cool place for the rentals to go.
And then this other guy, got his nose in your business.
Well, I went down that path for a long time of like taking all these old drum machines and sampling them, doing all these things, and then going out and doing field recordings and layering field recordings over top of these drum machines, trying to come up with our own thing sound. With the sound, and I had never programmed anything like that before, and was doing it. And there was occasionally where, you know, you would hit these little places and you're like, oh, that's kind of interesting. And then that would fuel your desire to go further down the path. And then, but when it came down to it, I went very far down that path for a long time. And there was just a few things that, for the whatever reason, I just did not have the intelligence to make them work. I was just, the songs just sounded lifeless, or just didn't sound like realized in the way that they, like if you have your BS meter on, you go, yeah, like, or I'm not serving the songs as well as they should be served. And so then I ended up basically just hitting a wall and reaching out to Carney and saying, we had all these miscues in our connections. We'd never met each other before, but we had talked about working with each other or the possibility of it. I hit this wall and I said, look, you don't know me really. I don't know you, but I've hit this wall. We've talked about working together before. He was supposed to tell me some like secret project that he wanted to work on with me, and he would never tell me what it was. So I said, since you're not going to tell me what the hell it is you're thinking, how about we like have a trial run working together on it?
Yeah, so that's when he said, just because it's so well told, get on a plane to Nashville, and you did. Now, that was for one song?
It was for four songs.
For four songs initially.
It was for four songs, and, and what was interesting, I'll tell the long story because it's kind of funny, I think, is that quite some time ago, my manager at the time said, hey, there's this guy, he's in a band called the Black Keys, and this is probably in like 2004 or 5 or something,
way before,
about 10 years ago, yeah. And well, and I mean, I knew a little bit about them. There had been some talk of us possibly doing some shows together, but I couldn't understand, like at the time, what the connection was, because they were more of a blues-based thing, the Black Keys,
They were also finding out who they were back then.
I suppose so, and I didn't have any connection with them, but my manager said, "Hey, this guy wants to get in touch with you from his management from." Has reached out to me. They want to put me like all this sort of formal stuff. And I'm like, yeah, whatever. Just give him my info, and he can, And so then I got this little email from him, just a quick note, essentially being really sweet, and he just said a few kind words about the first Rentals record and what that had meant to him, and that it had sort of piqued his interest in old vintage keyboards and things like that, because the first Rentals record has all these old Moog synthesizers on it, and that sort of got him into like that kind of music a little bit. And so it was really sweet and flattering and kind and generous and all those things that he can be very much. And then at the end of it, he just said, oh, and I have this idea of this thing. I don't know if you'd be interested, but I have this idea about this thing I'd like us to work on together. So I basically wrote back a very quick little thing back to him and said, oh, thank you for the kind words. Well, tell me about this idea. And I got no response. And it just ended up like, boom, like, in the desert, just the sound of wind and just that was it, nothing. So, I just let that go, and I figured, okay, well, maybe I said something inappropriate, or maybe I, he was kind of in this uber cool band, so I was like, maybe I said something kind of in a cheesy way or something like that. And maybe it was off-putting, or maybe he's like, oh God, I was really into this guy, but he's a real D-bag or whatever. So I didn't get any response. And then, later the Black Keys would be coming to LA, and I would say, oh, might as well write him a little note. So I'd say, hey, I saw you're coming to town. Why don't we grab a beer or a cup of coffee or something? No response. And then they would come back, they'd be playing a little bit bigger place, 'cause they're kind of on this steady ascension. And so I'd say, hey, I know you're playing this other place now, and I didn't hear back from you last time. What do you say we get together and maybe like meet up before your show? Nothing back. So then finally I was like, all right, whatever. I guess I just, I must have said something inappropriate. I never heard back from him. And then many years later, I think maybe a couple years later, I get this quick little note. Hey, by the way, like, I didn't forget about that thing I'd like for us to do together. I don't know if you'd still be interested. And so I wrote back to him, like, I was kind of at this point very untrusting of him, so I just wrote back and just like wrote like a half a sentence, basically, tell me about it, or something, something really, really brief. And once again, nothing. I got nothing back for him. I'd gone down this, all these like kind of exploration of like old drum machines and things. And I just said, wrote to him and said, hey, look, you're never going to tell me about this thing. Fine. You don't even have to tell me, but would you be interested in recording on some of a couple songs I'm having a problem with on the new Rentals album? And he wrote back in like in a second, said, yeah, let's do it now. Let's go. Like this week, in Pat's house, and we'd never met each other before, and he is just a real sweet guy, super, super generous with me, and also, you know, with all the success that he's had, and just that he would just be that that, you know, whatever, accommodating and all that kind of stuff, and still interested and working together. It was saying so many nice things about the, you know, the first couple Rentals records. It was, you know, it just was, it was a nice thing to feel at the time. It helped me with just, you know, with just the feeling of, all right, we're going in there, we're finding the right way. But I only had the problem with a couple of these songs, and I kind of thought the rest of the record was essentially done. And so we recorded, and the way I work with Carney, almost every single person on this album, that there are only a few main contributors. There's Ryan Slager, Lauren Chipman, Patrick Carney, and then Jess and Holly of Lucius. And with every one of them, you know, the thing has been to approach recording in a way that you haven't done it before, at least that I haven't done it before. Not that it hasn't been done, but just looking to find, I don't know, just interesting things that make life interesting. Like, let's just, you know, because I certainly don't have any desire to go back and recapture anything from my past or try to discover something and that maybe I'd once lost or whatever. None of that stuff interests me. It's like I don't really have a big reverence towards the first two Rentals albums. I'm happy that people have been nice and said nice things about them, but it's not something I look at as a holy grail of like, oh, we need to get back to that sound. So with this record, every single person we're working with, we're just doing things in different ways, and it was just real, some of it very ass backwards, as you would say, you know, just some really strange things. And with Pat, we'd already done all this drum machine exploration. So there was all these sort of blips and bloops and things and broken down old raggedy drum machines on there. And then he basically would play over top of them and just go, do you like this beat or do you like that beat? And just kind of, he just went right in, just like without any sort of direction. It was like, how about this? And he just started playing these ideas. And basically, he just played random thoughts. And it just gave me a bunch of random thoughts. I was like, take those back home. And he was without any sort of restrictions of, with what he was doing. He's just like, how about this? And he just kind of go into it. We barely even had the microphones up. And he was already recording it, you know, all right, let's go. And he's also very self-conscious about his own technical abilities and self-deprecating and all that kind of stuff. So we just basically just let him just like go. And then I took it back and tried to see how I could fit that in. And maybe it would be some hybrid with drum machines and this. But it ended up being just basically the feeling that he was putting forward that really, it just changed everything, and then it made everything else sound really lame. All this stuff that I worked on for a long time, but one thing I do not have a problem with is if I find that you come to that kind of eureka moment with somebody and everything, and even if you put a ton of work into the other stuff, if it just doesn't stand up to the rest of it, I have no problem just going, whatever, taking your arm on the table and just wiping everything off and going, okay, whatever, this is where we need to be. And that's what happened with him. Yeah, I just called him up and said, good news, bad news. Good news is all the stuff you did, really, it's I'm really thrilled about it. It sounds amazing. I'm incredibly psyched about what we've done. But the bad news is that everything else sounded really lame. I'm like,
where you started out with something that really was an idea, you went through so many things to get there. And then you were the one as the artist in the end that was completely surprised. And isn't that the whole point?
Well, I mean, it's strange. This is by far the thing that is the album that I've worked on in any capacity where it's the most fully realized to what my hopes were.
So I've invented a thing called a musical sandwich. And what it is two songs from the record on the outside as the bread, and then songs by other bands in between or other artists.